you know, during like spring break, summertime and stuff, your sleeping schedules are probably a little different. You know, you're going to bed later, you're sleeping in. It's kind of nice, you know, you're living the free life. You're free birds just wandering around. It's awesome. And then for some of you, go back to school on Monday and start the whole sleeping routine again, going to bed early, waking up early. Is it light now when you wake up, or is it dark? It's dark now when you wake up because of the time change. Does that not like, but I kind of like that because I like it being later, lighter later. But at any rate, I was kind of thinking about that and stuff, and lately, I haven't been sleeping well, and it's hasn't been fun. Like, you have ever have those restless nights where, like, you, like, lay there, and you're like, okay, I need to go to sleep, and then you're, like, laying there counting sheep or whatever, and then you, like, open an eye, and you look at your clock, and only, like, a minute has gone by, and you're like, what? I swear it should have been an hour. Or like you wake up every half an hour and then the night seems like it was a week. Like, and I was thinking about, there are a couple times in particular in which like I had extremely restless nights of sleep. Like this past Wednesday, I had a restless night of sleep because I keep dreaming about like, because of my classes and stuff, of like people chasing us and things. And we won't go into details, but I've been learning way too much about the history of the world, and I'm like, oh my goodness, llamas are chasing me and my little sister, we can't get free, this is awful, and pearls are coming out of the ocean and dragons, it's weird. But at any rate, I'm taking a tangent road. But there was one time in particular that I really remember not being able to sleep, and I don't know how many of you have ever heard, and maybe it's because you're high school leader or older brother or sister through Northland has heard of a trip that we've taken to the Kingdom of Swaziland. And it is, so if you picture the continent of Africa, if you go all the way to the bottom of it, kind of like when you look at a map of Florida, there's like that eyeball lake, you know, the circle, you know what I'm talking about? There's like, picture that like size at the bottom of Africa. And that's about the size of this country that we were doing work in. So I went specifically to shoot a documentary film and stuff. So I went over there to interview people and shoot like this whole film about what's going on and stuff. And it being Africa, stuff kept falling through and different things. And one of my good friends, Catherine, and I were sleeping in a tent together. And like, it's funny because I don't like sleeping outside and sleeping in tents and stuff yet. I keep doing these things in which I'm in tents and outside and stuff, but we're in Swaziland, and we're talking, like, straight up, like, Lion King stuff, like, this is not, like, Fort Wilderness camping, this is, like, we're in a tent, and no joke, like, there's, like, this barbed wire fence that you could touch yourself and get, like, shocked, and on the other side of it were, like, huge rhinos, and then beyond that were, like, legit, like, tigers, I will eat your face off, like, I don't care who you are, it's not, like, you know, Aladdin, where I'm like, hey, come with me, you know, it's like serious, like, not animal kingdom stuff that's going on, and so I'm, like, going to sleep and things, and we're hearing, like, all these animal noises, like, out in the distance, so I'm, like, laying in the tent, and there's, like, no electricity and stuff, and I'm, like, laying in my sleeping bag, like, I don't know, I would, you know, I'm in Africa in the jungle, so naturally what comes to my head if you're in the mind of Lauren is do 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 do. And so like this is like playing in my head and I'm just like, you know, maybe I'll put myself to sleep. I'm laying there and I all of a sudden hear like the footsteps of like something like coming closer and stuff. And I mean like we are in the middle of nowhere, like, and it was beautiful because you could see stars beyond stars beyond stars, and the moon was, like, amazing, and it was, like, silent. So, like, I'm laying, like, I'm just, like, chilling in my sleeping bag laying, and I can hear, like, rustling coming, and I'm just like, what is going on? And so I can hear, like, the prancing of, like, an animal, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. The tiger smells me. Like, He can hear me singing in my head, and he's coming, and he's going to eat me. And I'm literally laying there terrified. I've never thought in my life this kind of fear would come over me, but I literally laid there terrified that I might get eaten alive. Like, that is not a fun feeling to have. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, what an awful way to go, to be eaten, like, alive. Like, I don't want to go. I don't want to leave this world that way. Like, you know, and so, and Catherine is like, I look at over at her, and she is, no joke, like, snoring, like, and I'm like, you're like, it's like a mating call you're sending out. Like, you're like calling your friends over. I was like, so I'm like elbowing her, like, wake up, like, stop making like lion noises, calling friends over and stuff. And so she wakes up and she hears like this rustling in a tent next to us. And at this point in the trip, because I was coming later to film a lot of stuff, different people had come and go. And so there was a tent in which two girls in particular, and if you know Maria Fernandez and Nina Droppers, it would make sense that their tent would be the ones that they left not cleaned and with food left behind. So in this tent, like, I don't know what's going on, but like there is literally, like, I can hear the tent like ripping open and stuff, and I'm just like, oh man, like, we're gonna die. And I'm just like, okay, Jesus, hey, what's going on? I just pray for me and Catherine that you protect us and don't let us get eaten alive. Yeah, that would be awesome. And I pray for all your children of the world. Amen. And I was just like, oh, man. And so the next morning, like, we make it through the night. I didn't get eaten alive by an animal. I was excited about that. And so we make it through the night. And the next morning, the tent is literally ripped to shreds. But one of the guys that works at the park was telling us, like, they've got people in this game park that literally they just... they stay up all night, and their job is to make sure that anybody who's staying in the game park doesn't get eaten alive by an animal. And so he was watching, and it was like a wild boar, like a huge pig type of beast that went in and was just having itself a heyday. And when it started to approach our tent, the guy just like comes over with his like staff thing and shoos it away, and it like goes off in the night. But it was funny because, you know, a lot of times when we pray, a lot of times we pray in times in which we're feeling like we're kind of locked into a corner, or we pray when we're like, you know, something like terrible has happened, or like a friend gets sick or a parent gets sick, or, you know, you haven't studied all week and now you're sitting and you're teacher just handed your exam, and now you're praying that God will just make you a genius right in that moment and stuff. And so a lot of times we pray when we're in kind of a desperate time and stuff, and we want God to immediately answer that prayer. And so tonight I want us to look at a story of two people in particular, in which that they probably had, with good reason, many, many sleepless nights in which night after night they had been praying that God would answer, you know, their requests, that God would hear them. And so it's in the book of Mark. And it's in the book Mark, chapter 5, and it starts with verse 21. It says, "When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. And while he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue rulers, Jairus, came up to him. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, 'My daughter is now dying. Please, would you come? Put your hands on her so that she will be healed and lived.' So Jesus went with him. And it says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subjected to be bleeding for 12 years. And she had suffered a great deal. She's gone to many doctors, and none of them have been able to help her or cure her illness. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him, touched his cloak, and because she thought, 'If I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed.'" So right now we're looking at two people. This woman who's been sick for 12 years. How many of you guys are 12 years old? Okay. Imagine for your entire life, you've been sick. And you've gone to the doctors, you've seen this doctor and that doctor, and you've done this regimen, and you've seen this person, and you've taken this vitamin and stuff, and no matter what you do, nothing has made you better. Or, and then there's this other guy, Jairus, who has had a daughter, God bless you, who has been sick and is dying. And this is a ruler of great, great wealth who's probably done the same thing. He's gone to doctor, seen different people trying to figure out how to heal his daughter. And both of them, in desperation, both of them probably having sleepless night after sleepless night, who did they go to? Jesus. And so both of them approach Jesus in their desperation and ask him to help them. And you know, so we've been talking about how we are told, you know, we pray because we follow the example that Jesus came down here and Jesus talked to God. Jesus prayed. You know, Jesus taught us how to pray. You know, we have the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we look at a scripture in 1 John, it says that when we pray, we should have the confidence that anything we ask God according to his will, that he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know he will give to us. So it says, if we pray to God and according to his will, we should have confidence that we know and we should trust that he will come through according to his will, okay? Don't miss that. It's according to his will, not our will, his will. Okay, so when we look at this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years and this guy who's had this sick daughter, you know, they go to Jesus and they're asking him to help. And so many times when we pray, God bless you, we need to persevere. You know, we need to persevere to know that God in his time, if it's according to his will answer those prayers. And so it says that Jesus, while he's walking through the crowds, notices right after the woman touched him that some of his power has gone from him. And he turns around the crowd and asks, who touched my clothes? And then Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then he looks at the woman, knowing what had happened to her. He came over to her, she fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. And then Jesus says this to the woman, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. And then we fast forward to Jairus. Jesus is traveling with him. This ruler finds out that his daughter has actually died. So they're traveling, and could you just imagine, this guy is walking with Jesus, and is probably like, just like, are you joking me? Like, I come to Jesus, I ask him, like, Lord, like, heal my daughter, come with me. Like, we're so close, and as they're walking, he gets news that his daughter had died, and could you imagine probably how he feels? Just like, oh, it was so close, yet so far away. Like, or just complete anger. He's probably like, Jesus, why didn't you just snap your fingers and make it happen? Why didn't you do it right then? Because so many times we want God to act in our time with our will, but God's going to work in his time with his will. And then it says this, that Jesus gets to the house and he only lets Peter, James, and John come in. And then they look at the girl and they say, and Jesus says, what's with all the commotion? Don't they know? She's only sleeping. Then he took her by the hand and told her to get up. And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. And everybody was completely astonished. You see, God has the power. I mean, God created this earth. Like, he's got the power to do anything and everything. And it's our job to have faith, to follow him, to pray, and know that, you know, maybe he won't answer the prayer immediately when we want him to. But if we persevere, if we come together as a body too and pray and to lean on one another, we can have confidence that if our will is God's will, then he will answer. So I'm going to pray for us, and then you guys can go to small groups. So would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the fact that you have just mighty power to do amazing things, Lord. But I pray that you can continue to teach us to follow your way, to have faith in you, and that you help us to align the things that we want, the things that we desire, to be the same things that you want for us and the same things that you desire for us, Lord. I pray for the small group time that these students can talk to their leaders about what it looks like to persevere in prayer, Lord. I just pray that you be with them all, and I just pray that you just start to prepare us for next weekend as we get ready to go on the spring retreat. It's in your son's name, Jesus, I pray all this. Amen.